Because you won't want to miss these tidbits that are getting ready to come. We're going to start by talking about a guy named Joey Jaws Chestnut. You heard of him? He is an American hero. He is considered the all-time greatest eating champion. He's most famous for the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest. They have these every 4th of July on Coney Island in New York. And he put down a record of 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Pretty impressive, right? I think that may be the tray of it. So when he wins these contests, they call it the Mustard Belt. It's his championship trophy. And he won 16 times, and including coming into this year, Joey Chestnut was the 8-time defending champion. So the big question this year was really not, is he going to win again? It was, how many is he going to win by? Will he be able to top the record of 76? But there was a problem. Joey Chestnut got kicked out of the contest this year. Boo! Why, you ask, right? Was Joey doing performance-enhancing drugs? Did he commit a crime? Nope. You know what crime? Well, they thought he committed a crime. You know what that crime was? He signed an endorsement deal with Impossible Foods. So he was eating impossible hot dogs. If you don't know what that means, that's plant-based, where they substitute the beef. So they had impossible Whoppers at Burger King. I don't know if they still have them, because I'd rather eat the regular ones. But anyway, so he signed this deal, and they said he couldn't come back this year. And that was really difficult. So today I'm not going to argue on whether or not eating impossible food is good. I've tried a few and they happen to be good. But we're using this to ask the idea, and today there's going to be a lot of hyperbole and exaggeration, and this is part of it. So we're going a little bit tongue-in-cheek with some of the things that we say today. But we're going to talk about impossible people. Now, when I say impossible people, I'm not talking about plant-based people. I'm talking about people who you're around and you're like, that person is so impossible, right? Have you ever thought that about somebody? Yeah. So I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to do a little bit of a story about somebody who has been an impossible person in my life. And I want you to think without saying anything out loud, okay? Especially if that other person's in the room or next to you, all right? So don't say anything. Think about maybe a person who's impossible to get along with, or maybe when you're around them, you feel anxiety a lot of times, or anger, or frustration, and you really have a difficult time of relating to this person. The last time I spoke, I spoke about Gloria Munn, who was about the easiest person in the world to get along with. And so today we're going to just shift it and go the other direction. And we're going to talk about the people who are really difficult to get along with, or people who we struggle with in some way. So, got your person in mind? Or several people in mind? All right, let's do it. So we're going to go to, today we're really going to camp out in this wonderful chapter called Romans 12 is what we call it. And there's one keynote verse we're really going to hammer into, and that's Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Right? They're kind of Paul there, who's writing this to a church in Rome, a group of people he hasn't even met yet. But he's saying, he's maybe indicating that maybe some people are impossible, but if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So what about the people who it doesn't even seem possible with, right? And I want to clarify here, just take a few moments. We're not talking about people who are abusive today. We're not, because that's a different issue. But we're going to just think about some of the people in our lives who are seemingly impossible. So with my person that I have in mind, I thought there were two main options to apply this verse. One, option one, the impossible person could change, right? So let's go back to the hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut could have renounced impossible foods, right? He could have changed, said, I'm so sorry, I'm only going to eat Nathan's beef hot dogs, right? He could have changed. Option two, that other impossible person could leave, We didn't have to coexist anymore. Like, we could be just avoid each other. Or, in other words, Nathan's hot dog, they said, you can't be in our contest anymore, right? We're parting ways here. So, again, I thought, okay, with this person who's really difficult, not abusive, maybe very manipulative, but not abusive, like, these are the two options. And as I look back, there was a third option kind of tucked in there, hidden, that I missed. And it was in the words, as far as it depends on you. So, here's what I kind of thought back with my person and where my thinking went. I thought that I was the good guy and this other person was the bad guy. That I was maybe the victim and that other person was the villain. And I thought, you're right, who needs to change? The good guy or the bad guy? Bad guy, right? Does the good guy need to change? No. The good guy doesn't need to change, it's the bad guy. So again, I thought those were my options, but that third hidden option is, what if I changed in some way? Even though I'm the good guy in this thing, what if I needed to change in some way? Because I'm kind of going through some of my mistakes with this person, but one of the things that I secretly hoped was that I could change that other person. So how did I need to change? And I just want to take a moment here before we get back into Romans and acknowledge that all of us are wired differently. The person who I struggle with, maybe you would have been great with this person. And my own dysfunction that I brought into this relationship, your dysfunction is probably different, but you probably have dysfunction too. So we're looking at how we relate to the world, how we relate to other people, and your situation may be completely different than mine. But we're kind of looking at this overarching principle that the Apostle Paul gave us about following Jesus and getting into these relationships, which relationships can be really complicated and difficult and messy. Like, as we kind of wrestle with this, my dysfunction, again, it may be different than the ones, the struggles you've had. But hopefully just hearing my story a little bit, and that the Holy Spirit can come in and speak to us something specific as we wrestle with Romans 12 and following Jesus and how to have these relationships. So one of those things is that I realized that when it came to this other person, I had a lot of resentment. Whenever I thought of this or that person would come around, and I would just feel this resentment on the inside. So that was my version of it. And as it is often said, resentment or bitterness is like swallowing poison and hoping it kills the other person. Because the resentment that I carried from this relationship did me no good. And it affected other relationships. So how could I change? Well, one of the things that I believe as a Christian is that I need God to change. Jesus had a great prayer that he modeled, that he honored. It was when somebody says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. So getting to a place of a little bit of humility and say, God, I need help with this. That the Lord helps, but the way that God helps is not by waving a magic wand, but the Lord like works and he helps us to be disciples. And disciple means to be a learner. And it can take some time to really learn some things. Because lessons, a lot of times, they don't just come into our mind and we're completely different. But a lot of times it's this process of learning, especially as we have relationships, because they change and they're different. We have different moods. Other people have different moods. But continuing to learn, I think, is really important. Follow Jesus, looking to God. But what is it for me specifically? What were some of the mistakes that I made in this relationship with the impossible person? One of those was, for me, is that I took responsibility for their frustration. A lot of times this person would come to me with frustration, and I thought my role was just to relieve it, to take it. Like, oh, I have to change this person. This person's upset about something. I have to take that away. And a lot of times what ended up happening is I just absorb it. So like I thought I took it away, and my tactic was really, really bad too. Because here was my tactic. You guys will not be impressed with this one. Maybe you made this mistake too. This person's frustrated a lot. When they're around me, they're frustrated and they're coming to me with problems and it seems manipulative. But I'll just go ahead and appease and try to make that person happy by doing what they want to do. And you know what happened with that strategy? It worked great for a few minutes. But what I didn't realize is it was just good. I was going to like feel resentment. I was trying to play these games of appeasement. And it was like a never-ending dance. It was anger, appeasement, little bit of peace, sort of, and something happened. Anger, appeasement. And it was just like, it seemed like the game was never going to end. And what was happening with me is that I realized that my resentment kept growing. So again, my wish was that the impossible person would change or leave. I thought those were the two options. John Maxwell has a good quote that's related, and he wrote this: "In controlling my own attitude and choosing to think correctly, I can minimize the negative effects of those around me who have bad attitudes. I can stop taking it personally when those around me won't change." Now, again, you may not be able to relate with this at all, or maybe you will, but that's one of the things of the Apostle Paul. It seems like he's saying, take responsibility for yourself. Because the idea of trying to change somebody else, it just usually leads to frustration, discouragement, resentment. Because a lot of times people around us won't change, do they? Romans 12. So thinking about that, because in Maxwell's quote, it talks about thinking. I can minimize the negative effect. I can learn to think correctly, think better. So let's look at Romans 12 too. Because Romans 12, I recommend just reading the whole chapter a few times, meditating on it, and seeing what the Holy Spirit says to you. Because it can really help us with our relationship problems that we have. And as human beings, we have relationship struggles. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So thinking. And here's one of the challenges that I want to throw out about the impossible people that you deal with. Think about what that person is teaching you. They might even be a gift. You might even realize, like, why am I so upset about this? Because the answer might even be surprising to you. But let it challenge our thinking. Because one of the things that I realize now, several years later, that even if I would have gotten my wish and that the impossible person was gone for my life, would have just been replaced with another impossible person. Somebody else would have rose up to take that role because, yes, the person wasn't great at everything, but the bigger issue was how I was relating to that person, how I was interacting with the world. Because, again, that reaction of not really thinking about it, but reacting as appeasement led to those struggles of frustration, avoiding. Avoiding was the other one, and if I would have carried out the avoiding, I would have been a lonely person and never learned anything. So hopefully you can learn from some of my bad strategies and think about maybe or recognize, do I have any bad strategies or the way that I'm interacting with other people? What's my responsibility? Because we can't change them, but maybe God can use those impossible people to change us for the better. So let's go on to Romans 12, 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Let's stop right there, shall we? Is that frustrating for you? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Like, what if somebody says what you're doing is wrong? Does that mean you're not doing what's right in the eyes of everyone? Like, if we look at it like that, it's impossible to follow this, isn't it? I mean, honestly, anything we do, somebody's going to say it's wrong, pretty much. We'll just quickly, and we don't stay here long, but let's take voting, for example. If you cast a vote, somebody's going to say it's wrong. there's no possible way to vote and do it in the ways that's right for everybody, is there? Can we agree on that? We stay as far away from politics as we can, but let's come back here as we're thinking about this. But what is it? Is this even possible? So I think if it's saying, if anybody's ever mad at you, or if anybody ever disagrees with something you're doing, it's because you're not doing this. You haven't been careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That is a surefire way we can be manipulated. But let's think through maybe what Paul's trying to communicate, because that's illogical if we apply it like that. Because he reveals more of the answer of what he's trying to say later. My bad takes on things. Paul does a lot better. Do not take revenge, my dear friend. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, so he's saying, because I don't know about you, but I thought, like, somebody offends me, I want to punch him back. Because the ends justify the means, right? So we talk about fighting fire with fire. And one of the things that my parents repeated to me often as a kid growing up, two rights don't make a wrong. Have you ever heard that one? That's so annoying, isn't it? As one of my children pointed out, two negatives can make a positive, though, right? But two rights, so like fighting fire with fire, like this person is just really bad, so like if I can kind of compromise and not be, you know, like I can, as long as I'm against my enemy, that's okay. So I think Paul's saying here is when you respond, don't retaliate. Like don't let it, because we get offended and then maybe your tendency is like me, you want to lash out or you want to avoid or you don't care, you be cold towards the other person. But don't take revenge. Don't be overcome by evil, where that evil comes on you and then you're not trying to overcome evil with good anymore, but trying to meet evil with evil, fight fire with fire. So as we kind of wrestle again with what it means to follow Jesus, we can probably recognize this is really hard stuff when you get to the real world, where it's not just a lab or a theory, but it's like dealing with complicated situations that are so hard. One of the things that I want to say about my person is my story fortunately got better with that person. And I don't know if that person ever changed or not, but our relationship changed. And do you know why it changed? Because I changed. And I realized my job wasn't to change that person, but to change how I was relating. And there was a lot holding resentment quietly instead of being more forthright or honest sometimes. Because I thought my reaction would either be fight or flight. Have you heard of that one? Fight, flight, or freeze. Crucial Conversations is a book that talks about difficult relationships and conversations. They say that our tendency is towards silence, like avoiding, or violence, verbally attacking. And yeah, it's really hard to get out of that and find that third option, which Paul says it as speak the truth in love. It's like, oh, can I say this in a way that expresses some of my disappointment and frustrations, put up my boundaries? Because part of my issue is I didn't have boundaries. I thought I was taking too much on and I didn't have boundaries. And that is a recipe for disaster. So again, as I explain some of that and explain some of my problems, I don't know exactly how the other person, if they were all great about it. But it took me a while too, because I thought my options were to speak in anger or not talk. But I had to start having some compassion for that person. And I saw, lo and behold, this wasn't a villain who I had cast in my mind. It was a complex person who'd gone through some things that I didn't understand or I wasn't being compassionate about. And that person wasn't just a villain. That person also had good qualities too. And so for me to be so dismissive about the villain and beat him up in my mind, the stories I was telling myself, that was not the right thing, because Jesus was pretty clear. We got to love our enemies. And loving our enemies doesn't mean just like rooting for their downfall and like harboring a quiet resentment in your mind towards them and never saying it out loud. So this stuff, again, is hard. But it changed our relationship, because I no longer carried that resentment when I spoke more openly and calmly in a way that was respectful but direct. When we talked about this, our relationship changed. And we didn't become best friends, but I even liked that person. That person became sort of a friend. And I even liked being around them some of the time. Not all the time. I'm not going to say like one change does everything, because I still have these tendencies I have to work against. But it paved the way for a better relationship. Now, this message is more than just dealing with impossible people, because that's just an extreme way. Because whether the person is very compliant, easy to love, easy to get along with, or almost impossible, most of our relationships fall on a spectrum. This person's a little more difficult. This person's a little easier to be friends with, all this kind of stuff. But it's recognizing, using the impossible person, or thinking, how am I relating to others? How can I learn and follow Jesus in a way where I can have better, deeper, more sincere relationships? Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. That's one thing that really I wasn't doing. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Well, that's so good. Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. Now, with my person, I clearly wasn't doing that. And when I started to do that a little better, it did help the relationship. Again, I don't think it changed the other person, but it changed the relationship and took away some of my resentment and some of my unhealthy ways of dealing with the world. Because this could be the person that you love the most. Like that wall can come in, the person that's the most important to you, family members, dear friends. It's not just that impossible person. So all relationships have difficulties. That's why we've been doing this summer, this series, Brother, Sister, Friend, because how we do relationships is really, really important according to Jesus. And all have difficulties, especially the ones we love the most, sometimes may be the hardest. And we may be tempted towards silence or violence, withdrawal, or fight it out. But we can invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us about how we can change for the better in our relationships with God and with people. Because when we carry that, whatever we carry, it affects our relationship with God and other people too, who are sideways. We might kick the cat, as they say, with whatever we carry. So as we close this message right now, I just want to invite you to prayerfully listen to these words from Romans 12. We'll skip around a little bit. To prayerfully listen to these words and to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly, maybe just about a way that you can learn to follow Jesus better, or you can grow in maturity and in relationships, because that's what the Lord's really doing. He's building us up in maturity, and it's hard work, but God's up for it. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it if we keep looking to him. All right, so let's again, prayerfully. Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up right now. And I'm just going to pray over us the Lord's Prayer. I invite you just to listen to these words of the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.